Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Vraya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namne. Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 29 Verse 41. Itayam Upadruto Nityam Jiva Loka Svabhava Jai Na Karoti Arer Nunam Katamrta Nidau Ratim Etat Upadruto Nityam Jivaloka Svabhava Jai Nakaroti Harer Nunam Katamrata Nidau Ratim Upadruta, disturbed, Nityam, always, Jiva Loka, conditioned soul in the material world, Svabhava Jai, natural, Nakaroti, does not do, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nunam, certainly, Kata, of the words, Amrita, of nectar, nido, in the ocean, ratim, attachment. Translation, because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities such as hunger, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, unless one is associated with devotees, you cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. The Arjuna Bhajan of cultivating Krishna consciousness in the solitary place is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as sahajya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. There are many so-called devotees casting themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activities cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness as indicated in this verse. Translation: the most powerful Lord Brahma, the father of all progenitors, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, and the other rulers of humankind, the four saintly first class brahmacharis headed by Sanaka and Sanatana, the great sages, Marichi, Atri, Angir, Pulasta, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, and Vasishta, and Mahamba himself, Narada, are all stalwart brahmanas who can speak authoritatively on Vedic literature. We are very powerful because of austerities, meditation, education. Nonetheless, Even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we always see, we do not know perfectly about him. Purport. According to foolish Darwinian theory of anthropologists, it is said that the 40,000 years ago Homo sapiens had not appeared on this planet because the process of evolution had not reached that point. However, the Vedic histories, Puranas and Mahabharata relate human histories that extend millions and millions of years into the past. In the beginning of creation, there was a very intelligent personality, Lord Brahma, and from him emanated all the Manus and Brahmacharis like Sanatana and Sanatana, as well as Lord Shiva, the great sages, and Narada. All these personalities underwent great austerities and penances, and thus became authorities in Vedic knowledge. Perfect knowledge for human beings, as well as all living entities, is contained in the Vedas. All the above mentioned great personalities are not only powerful, being cognizant of the past, present, and future, but are also devotees. Still, in spite of their great education and knowledge, and despite their meeting the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu, they cannot actually understand the perfection of the living entity's relationship with Lord Vishnu. This means that these personalities are still limited as far as their knowledge of the unlimited is concerned. The conclusion is that simply by advancing one's knowledge, one cannot be accepted as an expert in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of God can be understood not by advanced knowledge, but by pure devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mama Vijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvadaha. Unless one takes to pure transcendental devotional service, you can understand that Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth. Everyone has some imperfect ideas about the Lord. So-called scientists and philosophical speculators are unable to understand the Supreme Lord by virtue of their knowledge. Knowledge is not perfect unless one comes to the platform of devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedic version. Atapi te deva param bhuja dvaya prasad klesh anugrahita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno achanya e gopi chiran vichinvan. Speculators, gyanis, go on speculating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. But unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of God, one cannot understand his supreme glories. All the great sages mentioned in this verse have their planets, like Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma resides, along with the four sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanakumar. These sages reside in different stars known as the thousand stars which circle the pole star. The pole star called Dhruvaloka is the pivot of the universe, and all planets move around that pole star. All the stars are planets, as far as we can see within one universe. According to Western theory, all the stars are different suns, but according to Vedic information, there's only one sun within this universe. All the so-called stars are the different planets. Besides this universe, there are many millions of other universes, and each of them contains similar innumerable stars and planets. Translation: because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The most powerful Lord Brahma, the father of all progenitors, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, and other rulers of humankind, the four saintly first class brahmacharis headed by Sanaka and Sanatana, the great sages of Marichi, Atri, Angir, Pulasta, Palaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, and Vasishta, and my humble self, Narada, are all stalwart brahmanas who can speak authoritatively on Vedic literature. We are very powerful because of austerities, meditation, and education. Nonetheless, even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of God, whom we always see, we do not know perfectly about him. So here, Narada is explaining that all the attempts to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead are good. It's better than not regarding him at all. But even if we try to know him, we cannot know him perfectly. This indicates two things. One is attempts on their own, independent of bhakti, independent of the Lord's mercy, are bound to fail. And even if one gets the mercy of the Lord, as in the case of Lord Brahma and the sages and Daksha and the Manus, who obviously have a position given by the Lord, still, even then they cannot know the Lord completely. Definitely they can know the Lord to some degree, because here it says they actually see the Lord. So So they have some realization of the Lord. And we see that the Lord appears before Lord Brahma or before the different sages like us and Kumaras, etc. But still, none of these persons know the Lord completely. They can't know him perfectly. This, of course, indicates that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate. And the ultimate is infinite. So it is impossible, ultimately, to enumerate or to know all the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. We know that, for instance, he has innumerable forms. He can take so many different forms, and they're all himself. They're all the God. So in Bhagavatam, we have a list of the different avatar forms. These are also eternal. And these are non-different from the Lord. And even if we take one form like Krishna, that form also has innumerable forms. So it's described how he is, even in Madhurya Rasa, he assumes hundreds and hundreds of different forms according to his mood. This is, of course, an analysis, and it's not complete. It's unlimited again. So Krishna can appear in unlimited ways according to the desires of the different types of devotees. And similarly, of course, the other avatars as well. So in this way, it is very difficult to know the Lord completely because of his inconceivable powers and unlimited powers. And his unlimited qualities. So that is the very nature of the Supreme Lord. However, by his mercy, it is possible to some degree to understand, know, and appreciate the Supreme Lord. And to the degree, the capacity of the jiva can do this, that is good, that is satisfying for the jiva. He has a certain capacity and that capacity to its maximum. When he reaches that maximum, the jiva is satisfied. In other words, each jiva has a limit on how much he can realize the Supreme Lord. And when he reaches that limit, he's fully satisfied. His bliss is complete. So in this way, the Lord satisfies everyone in spite of the fact that no one can really know the Lord completely. And, of course, the Lord in different forms will only display certain types of qualities, not everything. So certain forms will show more than others, and therefore we have classifications of the Lord according to the amount of qualities he manifests. So we have Vaibhava and Prabhava forms and Paravasta forms, different degrees of manifestation. And then we have Purna forms. And then we have, of course, hierarchy, and we put Krishna at the top of Swayam Bhagavan because he manifests all the qualities in full, whereas the others don't. According to the form of the Lord also, certain amounts of qualities are manifest and certain things are not manifest. They're hidden. And, of course, correspondingly, the devotees worship certain forms. So to that degree, the Lord reveals some of his powers. But other things are not revealed in that form at all, and those devotees don't realize those things. So in this way, of course, we see that these persons mentioned here, from Narada all the way to the other persons, sages and Brahma, etc., they have qualification to see the Lord, but they also have a limitation. So generally when we discuss devotees, we put them in a hierarchy also, just as we put the Lord in a hierarchy from Krishna at the top and down to other forms, like the great sages, like Vasudeva or whatever, near the bottom. So in the same way, we have the devotees of the Lord. So we have the devotees like the Devatas and the sages at the bottom, and then we have greater devatas at the top, and then we have Lord Brahma, then we have Lord Shiva, and then we get higher devotees like the Pandavas, the Yadus, etc. They're considered much higher. And then higher than that, of course, we get the Brajavasis, the people of Vrindavan. And then highest, of course, we get all the gopis. And then highest among them, we have the Astasakis and the group of Radha's friends. And then highest of all, of course, we have Radha. We have a whole hierarchy of devotees according to their capacity of realizing the Lord. So these persons mentioned here, Brahma and others, they are put in the low category. And of course, we know when Narada Muni speaks, he's putting himself in this category also, even though he's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord and he has quite a superior position. Still, we know that Narada Muni also, his rasa is Dasya rasa, so there is some limit there also to how much he realizes of the Lord because of that particular relationship he has. So all of these figures here, of course, also will have up maximum Dasya rasa. They are in the mood of a servant, and they realize the powerful aspects of Supreme Lord. So that is their maxim. So the sweetness of the Lord, which is manifest in Krishna especially, that is not realized to a large degree. So therefore, when Narada Muni says that we don't actually know the Lord perfectly, it is quite true. But still, it is possible to know more than this. So that is why we have devotees classed much higher. Those devotees who were in Vaikuntha, those devotees who were in Dwarka, and those who were in Vrindavan, they have a much more complete realization of the Lord. So if one realizes Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, that he includes everyone else. So whatever is realized by these sages or by anybody else in any other form, is automatically realized if one can realize Krishna. So in this way we get a glorification of Krishna also indirectly in this verse where Narada, when he says, actually we don't know the Supreme Lord perfectly. And also the glorification of the great devotees of the Lord, the devotees of Krishna, that they have such a high realization. So this also illustrates the, we can say, the inconceivable mercy of the Supreme Lord in that he responds to all sorts of devotees in different ways, and accordingly he lets them realize into their capacity and according to their desire. So this is the main purpose why the Lord has so many forms, because there are infinite number of jivas and they have different preferences. So therefore the Lord appears in all these different forms to satisfy the different jivas. And in this way, we show his great, he shows his great mercy, and whatever. So, this is the main idea here. And the process of realization, of course, in all cases, must be bhakti. Here, Lord Brahma mentions other things like austerities, meditation, and education or knowledge. So, knowledge and tapas and meditation, these are things we see in jnana and yoga. And we know that that actually cannot reveal the Supreme Lord in itself. So when Brahma says this, of course, this is a qualified austerity, meditation, and knowledge, because it's hopeless. You can't realize the Lord by that. So this type of austerity, meditation, and knowledge is something a little different. It is something included within bhakti. So we see, for instance, Brahma was told by a voice when he first came out of the lotus, do austerities, tapa, tapa. And then after the tapa, he saw the Lord. But what was his tapa? His tapa was not simply to fast or anything like that. His austerity was to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So that's a type of bhakti. So tapa does not always simply refer to fasting and, as in the case of Dhruva, where he fasted and didn't eat or whatever. Dhruva gained a tapas, but his real tapas was his worship of the Supreme Lord. So in the case of devotees, their tapas is actually ultimately to concentrate on the Supreme Lord, and they reject everything else. So tapas does not necessarily mean something foreign to bhakti. And of course jhana itself, or meditation, is also included in yoga, but it is also part of bhakti. It is one of the angas of bhakti. Smaranam, of course, we know about, and when smaranam becomes continuous, it is called dhyana. So that is an anga of bhakti itself. And of course, knowledge, jnana of the sort to understand Brahman, that of course is part of Gyan Yoga, and that is not encouraged in bhakti. But the other type of jnana, to know the Supreme Lord, that is part of bhakti. So Bhagavad Gyan or Sambandha Gyan is intrinsic also to the process of bhakti. And through the hearing process, we get that jnana. So Shravana actually includes absorbing knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So that also is there. So jnana does not always mean the impersonal jnana. So therefore, when Brahma here speaks of austerities, meditation, education, he's not separating that from bhakti. In spite of that, these persons still do not know the Lord perfectly. They're doing bhakti, but they don't know the Lord perfectly. So, of course, the reason we know is that the Lord is unlimited anyway, and no one can know the Lord perfectly. But the other point is that there are devotees that can know the Lord more perfectly. If they practice worship of Krishna and then do bhakti for Krishna, then they will get more complete realization of the Lord. Even then, of course, they have some limitation, but because they know Krishna and Krishna Swayam Bhagavan and he includes everything else, therefore the realization is much more perfect than that of these sages and Brahma and others and Shiva, etc. Therefore, this is also a glorification of the form of Krishna, that he's the ultimate form. And if a jiva in the material world, insignificant jiva in the material world, chooses to worship Krishna as his sadhana, then he realizes Krishna. So then he's put in a higher position than all of these sages. That is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So this is a glorification of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Of Krishna. Yeah, because it doesn't mention Krishna. It just says we can't know the Lord perfectly. And so it doesn't mention Krishna directly, that's why. But we can assume that because they do have realization of Vishnu, obviously, they see him, so they realize him. But no matter how much they know him, still, the realization of Vishnu is also not complete because there are higher forms. And ultimately, Krishna is the highest form. So simply if we realize Vishnu, we don't get a complete realization of the Supreme Lord. What's that? Well, the idea is ultimately to show that one must do some process. In other words, what Brahma did was he attempted physically to see the Lord. He climbed down the lotus stem and he went down into the water and it's too deep and he couldn't go down, etc. So physical endeavor is not the point. If one performs bhakti, then one gets to see the Lord. So then the Lord revealed himself and spoke to him, etc., and taught him things, how to create the universe, etc. So that means that through the process of bhakti, we have access to the Lord, but physical attempts will not do it. This, of course, is also some sort of pastime of the Lord, because we know that Brahma is highly qualified also as a devotee, otherwise he doesn't have that post. He does get messages from the Supreme Lord, etc., and the Lord interacts with him, so it's not that he's unqualified, but the Lord does this to make a point. Well, they're fixed because of their particular rasas, which don't change, obviously. So the Pandavas are in a certain rasa with the Lord, and the Yadus are in a certain rasa with the Lord, the Brajavasis. So they don't switch roles, and the Yadus don't become the Brajavasis, etc., and whatever. So the jiva has a certain position, and he's fixed in that position. No. Otherwise, it would be confusion. Everybody's switching every day. To a certain degree, of course, they do have powers to change forms, etc., like that. But that is only for pastimes, and basically, they have a certain relationship. If it wasn't like that, then there would be no steadiness in the spiritual world. Everyone would keep changing forms, etc., and you know, going from one place to the other. So it wouldn't make much sense.
But these devotees themselves, they don't compare with that. The scene is, well, he's better than...
No, because they're satisfied with a particular role. Well, we can say it depends on the mercy of the Lord, ultimately.
And what about his desire to serve, more desire to serve?
Yeah, of course that's there, which also increases with the advancement of bhakti also, that increases also. But then the quality of that desire and which direction it goes, again, is, we can say the jiva is how he cultivates, what he cultivates and what he chooses to cultivate. And according to that, he gets realization.
So, Maharaj, can you say that if somebody wants to cultivate Madhuri relationship, then he has the most complete realization?
Yeah, he will end up with that, yeah. In other words, if you cultivate Madhuri, it's not like you're going to end up in Ayodhya with Rama suddenly when you get to the spiritual world. It's unreasonable because you're perfecting, you go through bhava and prema, and in bhava, then you realize Krishna and prema is perfected. So, if you switch, you could always switch, of course, because you may not feel satisfied with a particular type of relationship with the Supreme Lord and switch the form or whatever, and then switch to rasa or whatever. But that would take place in sadhana.
What if somebody would like holiness?
Yeah. Well, that just means he has a preliminary understanding of that song. And as he advances, then one will become more particular. But we see in the spiritual world also, there are mixed rasas. Some rasas are mixed, but usually one is more prominent. Well, jnana in that sense means simply that sambandha jnana is an aspect we have in the material world for understanding the Lord, which is philosophical in nature. In the spiritual world, they don't need that because they have direct perception of the Lord, which covers everything anyway. Everything is automatically included in realization of the Lord in its personal form. Okay? In the material world, to get to that point, we do need to understand certain preliminary things, that God is not the jiva, and matter is not the jiva, and is not God, so we have to understand that. In the spiritual world is not necessary. They're beyond that qualification. Well, we take the Shakti of the Lord as equal to the Supreme Lord. This says Lakshmi and Vishnu again are in a separate category, so they're not limited like jivas. That's his pastime.
Bhagavatam ki, Srimad 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 Bhagavatam ki, Srimad